Thank you for joining me for the East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Today we are going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Santan and Queen Creek. So if you're ready, let's get going. Our first article is entitled Santan Valley Incorporation to Go to Voters. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, May 2, 2025, and written by Janet Perez. Voters will get to decide whether Santan Valley becomes a town following approval from the Pinal County Board of Supervisors to place the question on the ballot. At a special meeting on Friday, the Board of Supervisors unanimously approved calling an election for August 5th on the issue of incorporation. Residents who live within the proposed borders of the incorporation area will be voting in the election. It's long overdue. That should have happened 15 years ago, and we believe the reason why we're a part of this and we're moving this forward is that we believe with a conviction that this is the right thing to do, said Tyler Hudgens, chairman of Santan Valley Incorporated, after the meeting. We have 100,000 people. The county was not set up to run a city of 100,000 people. And this is going to put our community on the trajectory that it needs. This has been a two-year effort by Santan Valley Incorporated to get the area and Pinal County neighboring Queen Creek and Florence Incorporated into its own town. At the meeting, one elections official said the Santan Valley Incorporation signature drive was the largest in Arizona history. The Pinal County Elections Office accepted 10,641 signatures submitted by Santan Valley Incorporated. Following a signature review and verification, the group needed 6,107 signatures to trigger action by the Board of Supervisors on whether to call an election. This was the largest incorporation petition in Arizona history, larger than the city of Maricopa, larger than the city of Phoenix, said Garrett Glover with the Pinal County Elections Office. I was very proud of our team to get this task accomplished in a very quick and legal and accurate manner. Santan Valley Incorporated began its drive to incorporate Santan Valley in 2023. In April 2023, the group finished the first phase of its work when it filed a notice of intent to seek incorporation with the Board of Supervisors. In October 2024, the supervisors voted to allow the organization to start circulating its petition for signatures. We believe we've already passed the hardest part of the incorporation effort as far as getting the signatures, Hudgens said. We feel the number of conversations we've had with the members of the community, some of the polling that Supervisor Mike Goodman has done, has shown that there's wide community support for this. Santan Valley is now getting into campaign mode, and Hudgens said the group will start sending out mailers, posting signs, and planning in-person meetings where members of the community can ask questions and get information about the incorporation movement. If incorporation passes muster with voters, Hudgens said the transition process between the county and the nascent town will take place over a year. The supervisors will have to officially incorporate the town and then work to appoint the new leaders that would basically get the government up and running, Hudgens said. The county would pass all responsibility to the new town leaders on July 1, 2026. End of story. Our next article is entitled Hines Sentenced to 12 Years in Preston Lord's Death. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, May 2, 2025, and written by Janet Perez. William Owen Hines, 19, who pleaded guilty to manslaughter in the October 2023 beating death of 16-year-old Preston Lord, has been sentenced to 12 years in prison. He also was sentenced to 5 years on an aggravated assault charge in connection with a drunk driving collision on July 2023 that left another teen with serious traumatic brain injuries. The sentences will run consecutively. Hines is the first of Lord's attackers to be sentenced. The sentence was handed down by Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Scott McCoy on Friday. Hines was initially charged with murder and kidnapping in Lord's death. In March, after entering a plea deal to lessen the murder charge to manslaughter, the kidnapping charge was dismissed. Lord was severely beaten during a house party in Queen Creek on October 28, 2023, and died at Phoenix Children's 2 days later. Preston was always an easy kid that always made me proud, Lord's mother, Autumn Curiel, said during her victim impact statement. His mind was so special and bright. Preston was raised to be an exceptional man, and now the world will never know him, she continued. None of this was considered as he was beaten to death and left in the road to die. Lord's father and stepmother also spoke about the impact the teen had in their lives and the large void his death has left. Before his sentencing, Hines' parents and lawyer presented as mitigating circumstances the suspect's age at the time of the fatal assault and his addiction to alcohol. Hines was 17 at the time of the attack. Hines told the judge before sentencing that he had kicked Lord in the stomach as a gang of young men from Gilbert descended on the victim. He did not deserve any of those kicks or punches, Hines said. I realized that it would be wrong to ask for forgiveness after this family has had so much taken from them. They owe me nothing. However, I owe them everything. I am committed to discovering how I can better control the actions that I make and continue to make the world around me a better place. I'm truly very sorry. Hines, along with six other young men from Gilbert, was arrested and charged in 2024 with Lord's death. Taylan Renner, Dominic Turner, and Taylan Vigil were arrested in Gilbert by Queen Creek Police on March 6, 2024. A day later, Treston Billy and Taylor Sherman were arrested. Hines and Jacob Meissner were already in custody on unrelated charges at the time of the arrests. All seven were charged with one count of first-degree murder and an alternative second-degree murder, both Class 1 felonies, and one count of kidnapping, a Class 2 felony. Their trials are pending. Along with being sentenced to prison for Lord's death, Hines also received 5 years for aggravated assault when he caused a car crash in Gilbert in 2023 that left another teen seriously injured. Hines was also sentenced to probation on two other assaults that occurred in 2022, an aggravated assault for a group attack at a different party in Queen Creek and another aggravated assault for a group attack in a restaurant parking lot in Gilbert. In all, Hines will serve a total of 17 years in prison, followed by another 3 years of probation. Quote, William Hines has shown us through not just one, but a series of acts that he is unfit for society, end quote, Maricopa County Attorney Rachel Miller stated in a press release following the sentencing. Quote, the fact that he is inflicted harm on other victims did not give him pause as he continued his escalation that ended in the death of Preston Lord. Prison is the only appropriate outcome, and there is still more work to be done, end quote. In sentencing Hines, McCoy said, I don't think I've ever seen anyone so eager to plead guilty and take responsibility. End of story. Our next article is entitled Author's Puppets Accent Her Message. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, April 30th, 2025, and written by Saranthi Pereira. Writing and puppeteering for children have been lifelong passions for author Vicky Risquet. Most of her books have messages for her audience. Bullying, climate change, and memory loss in elderly loved ones are heavy issues that youngsters may encounter at some point in their lives. And Risquet has found a gentle way to educate children on these topics. Risquet is the author of 7 children's books, among them, quote, My Teeth Are Too Big, end quote, which features Jackie Rabbit teased and bullied by her school friends after her adult teeth grow into place. Quote, Grandma Beebe, end quote, illustrated by Laura Best, tackles the difficulty of memory loss in older loved ones from a child's perspective, again using the character of Jackie Rabbit. Quote, Fishy Tales, end quote, is about a fish that loves to swim and play in the ocean and, along with friends, encounters a large trash island when they are trying to save an octopus. For most of her stories, Risquet has created puppets, which she uses for storytelling with young audiences. Currently, she has more than 30 puppets at home, including her storybook characters Jackie Rabbit, Leo Lizard, Rosie Roadrunner, and Diamondback Dan. Puppetry is very collaborative. It only works if the performer and the audience agree that this sock or piece of paper are actually a character in a story, she said. Puppetry is magical. Under the brand of We Are Puppeteers, Puppets in Tow, Risque visits schools, libraries, bookstores, farm stores, parks, and other locations around the East Valley and Phoenix. Rapt audiences are the norm because she makes the children actively participate. For example, when she reads, quote, The New Polka Dot Tea Party, end quote, another of her books, she talks about Leo Lizard and his love of counting his push-ups. We will do a test session of counting push-ups with Leo. This activity makes the kids feel like they are part of the story, she said. She also conducts shadow puppet shows with the children who are fascinated with the shadows they create. Risque said her chosen art form came naturally. I think it has always been part of my imagination, she said. Her interest in puppets started when she was in elementary school in Minot, North Dakota. Her neighborhood was full of kids, and on rainy days, they would make puppets and create stories to entertain themselves. In high school, she participated in theater and played the role of Pinocchio. At North Dakota State University, she continued her interest by designing and building props and creating puppets for the musical Carnival. After graduating with a fine arts degree, she earned a grant to tour elementary schools in Fargo with Charlotte's Web. She adapted E.B. White's book into a 45-minute puppet show with puppeteers playing Wilbur, Charlotte, and Templeton, and later produced and directed it. She also produced a puppet show for a shopping mall at Christmas and a TV puppet show that ran for 2 years on the CBS affiliate in Fargo called Owl Witness News with Olivia DeHoot and the Owl Witness News team. In 1985, Risque moved to Mesa, where she lives with her husband, Mark, and her adult children. In 2014, she was an artist in residence for two international schools in Shanghai, China. After studying for a master's degree in computer animation from Arizona State University, she shifted to computer graphics and worked for a local animation company. She has also painted scenery for local commercials and movies. Her last job was producing ancillary content for grades K through 12 at the learning company Pearson. But her love for authorship and puppeteering endured. We Are Puppeteers participates in the annual Day of Puppetry organized by the Phoenix Guild of Puppetry. She also conducts literary workshops with the Friends, Family, and Neighbors program of Pinal County. Despite her connections with local organizations, Risque knows that her books and puppetry have to be vetted by the children first. It's a huge part of my process, she said. I'm always looking for validation that the story is worthy of my audience. I am lucky to have many nieces, nephews, and friends with kids that I can send out drafts, she said. I generally receive honest responses because kids don't worry about pleasing me. They're really frank about what they like and don't like. Risque's latest book, Dear Grandma and Grandpa, or Quiero Dos Abuelos, is a dual-language book she co-authored with Sonia Elizabeth Urrutia de Soto. The book will go on sale in the next few days. In this, Jackie Rabbit learns how to write a letter to her grandparents and in the process discovers the joy of writing and receiving letters. This book has traveled around in my head for years. I love writing and receiving letters. For years, I have written letters to seniors who, for the most part, are not able to write back, Risque said. At one time, she would write weekly letters to 10 people who showed her the stack when she visited them and told her how much each letter meant to them. Writing and directing puppetry for children have many rewards, Risque said, especially when she finds out that one of her books is a repeat book for them. Reading to children is a special experience like no other. They are receptive to the world that you have created and add their own interpretations of your book, she said. They keep me feeling young with their limitless imagination and energy. Vicky Risque's books are available for purchase on Amazon.com. For more details, you can go to wearepuppeteers.com, WEARUPPETEERS.com. End of story. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we are focusing on the news of the past week for Santan and Queen Creek. My name is Leslie Hunt, and I'm your volunteer reader. Continuing on, our next article is entitled I-10 Gila River Bridge Project Halfway There. This was posted in the Santan Sun News, May 4th, 2025. No author is listed. The Arizona Department of Transportation claimed a big milestone in the ongoing project involving the replacement of the deteriorating I-10 bridge over the Gila River. Crews shifted westbound I-10 traffic onto part of the new eastbound I-10 bridge to remove the old westbound span. Quote, this traffic shift will remain in place for approximately 8 to 10 months, end quote, ADOT said, adding that the westbound span is expected to be in place early next year. Construction of the I-10 bridges over the Gila River began May 2025 and is the first of four segments for the I-10 Wild Horse Pass Corridor project that runs along interchange to just north of Casa Grande. The new I-10 bridges over the Gila River will be wider, making room for additional travel lanes that are being added in both directions on I-10 through the Wild Horse Pass Corridor. ADOT hosted 25 students and other community members and leaders from the Gila River Indian community to view and witness part of this bridge removal. Quote, the purpose of this site visit was to show visitors how the bridge removal process is conducted and provide insight into the freeway construction process. Work for the entire project corridor is expected to take place between early 2024 through late 2028. Besides the addition of a third lane each way, the Gila River Bridge project also includes reconfiguring the approach to the bridges on both ends and widening the bridge's shoulders. There also are additional phases beyond the bridge replacement that are part of the I-10 Wild Horse Pass Corridor project. They include extending the high occupancy vehicle lanes in each direction on I-10 from Loop 202 to Riggs Road, improving interchanges and crossroads for enhanced capacity and safety and bike and pedestrian crossings, installing a fiber optic backbone for freeway management technology to allow for the installation of sensors, cameras, variable message signs, and other highway operations and safety-related technology. The $400 million project is a long time coming and saw a breakthrough a few years ago when the Gila River Indian community and ADOT reached an agreement on it. To accommodate the growth occurring in Maricopa, Pinal, and Pima counties, ADOT has been expanding and modernizing I-10 between Phoenix and Tucson for the last 20 years. End quote. The agency states in a design concept report, adding completion of the 26-mile segment will, quote, greatly benefit the corridor's numerous users, end quote. It paints a gloomy portrait of conditions that exist along that corridor now, citing, quote, a substantial traffic congestion resulting from inadequate roadway capacity on I-10 that continues to worsen, adversely affecting travel time and levels of service. Noting that segment has, quote, substantial I-10 traffic operation issues caused by passenger and freight traffic volumes, major crashes, emergencies, and weather-related incidents, with subsequent diversion of traffic onto local Gila River Indian community roads and land, end quote. The report said that stretch has seen, quote, a higher than average number and or severity of crashes than the Arizona statewide average for similar roadways, end quote, end of story. Our next story is entitled Queen Creek Library, Site of County Pilot Program for Parents. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, May 2, 2025, and no author is listed. The Queen Creek Library is the launch site of a new program from the Maricopa County Library District designed for parents who want to take an active role in their child's library experience. Quote, this innovative program provides families with a tool to manage their child's access to specific books, ensuring content reflects their family values and preferences, end quote, stated Thomas Galvin, chairman of the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, in a press release. Quote, I have been working on this issue for several years, and as a parent myself, I'm happy that Maricopa County has identified a process that honors the unique needs of each family unit without limiting the choices of others, end quote. Similar to the parental control features used on phones and tablets, this pilot program gives parents the option of greater oversight by allowing parents to identify specific book titles they do not want their child to access. Restrictions will then be applied to the child's library account, preventing those titles from being checked out or accessed digitally. Quote, we're focused on fulfilling the mission of the county library to provide access and services that enhance residents' quality of life, end quote, stated Supervisor Mark Stewart, who represents Queen Creek and the rest of District 1 in the release. Quote, that's why this program is a common sense initiative that establishes guardrails to protect children, similar to a movie rating system, end quote. The pilot program is only for parents or legal guardians with a library account that is linked to their child's account. Parents and guardians must visit the Queen Creek Library, 21802 South Ellsworth Road, in person to complete the form restricting their child's access to specific titles. Quote, this will be a useful program for our families, and I'm thankful that our community was chosen to lead this pilot, end quote, Queen Creek Mayor Julia Wheatley stated in the release. While there's no limit to how many individual books can be restricted, the program does not allow parents or guardians to block access to entire categories or age levels. Maricopa County Library District remains committed to offer an extensive collection to communities, stated Jeremy Reeder, director of the Library District. During this pilot, we'll evaluate what's working and what's not, incorporate feedback from visitors, and then determine whether it makes sense to offer this tool at other county libraries. For more information, visit mcldaz.org/about/parental-choice. End of story. Our next article is entitled Teen Hospitalized After Vehicle Collision. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, May 4th, 2025, and written by John Saunders. A 13-year-old has been hospitalized with, quote, life-threatening injuries, end quote, after they were hit by a vehicle while riding an e-bike on April 30th. According to reports, just before 5 p.m., April 30th, the youth was riding an e-bike by Mansell Carter Oasis Park near Sossaman and Ocotillo Roads when they were hit by a passing civilian truck. The driver remained on scene during the process, and the Queen Creek Police Department has not disclosed their identity. Police officers are actively looking into the matter and explained that they're investigating the exact events leading up to the accident. While we do not always receive patient status updates, this is the most current update we have, said Jennifer Lamas, Queen Creek Police Department Public Information Officer. This is still an active and ongoing investigation. E-bike-related crashes have risen throughout Arizona and the rest of the country. Reported data from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission indicates that between 2017 and 2022, there were 233 deaths associated with micromobility devices like e-bikes and hoverboards in the United States. The report also noted that various e-bike-related issues can occur. These include fire hazards, brake problems, electrical issues, unexpected power loss, and accidents caused by uneven terrain. Popular and widely commercial e-bike companies like Gyrur, Cannondale, and Electric have recalled their products due to similar circumstances. Analysis from Swenson and Shelley Injury Attorneys with its e-bike accident attorneys in Scottsdale suggests that the high speeds and silent motors produced from e-bikes, which can travel up to 30 miles per hour, lead to more accidents resulting in death, traumatic brain injuries, TBIs, internal organ injuries, and extremity fractures. The firm also attributed distracted driving, not yielding to the right of way, and speeding as causes for these crashes. End of story. Our next article is entitled Tri-City Cardiology Breaks Ground. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, May 1st, 2025, and written by Christina Fuoco Karasinski. Tri-City Cardiology broke ground on Terraza Medical Village, a 100,000-square-foot state-of-the-art medical campus, on April 16th. The East Valley practice has 27 board-certified cardiology and vascular care physicians. The substantial construction project by Krauss Anderson Phoenix began on March 10th, and builders anticipate that two of the five buildings will be ready for patients by May 2026. Terrazza Medical Village, located at 40245 North Gansel Road, is a division of TCCC Real Estate Holding LLC. Once complete, the complex will include five Class A medical office buildings that combined provide 100,000 square feet of premier medical office space in more than 12 commercial acres. The development is specifically designed by Doctors for Doctors and Patients, featuring ample parking, beautiful outdoor amenities, and environmentally friendly electric vehicle charging stations. The cost of this project is estimated at $45 million. Santan Valley and the surrounding areas have been some of the fastest-growing neighborhoods in the state for the last 4 years, and there is no sign of it slowing down, said Jackie Scott, Director of Operations in Krauss Anderson's Constructions Phoenix Regional Office. According to Dr. Jaskamal Kahlon, President of TCCC Real Estate Holding Company, the project developer, the extreme growth combined with a severe shortage of quality medical office space is why when we found this commercial land, we knew it would not only meet the needs of our primary client, Tri-City Cardiology, but would allow us the opportunity to build world-class medical office space for various other specialty providers looking to establish an office in this high-demand area. Tri-City Cardiology will occupy the first floor of building number 3. Being part of this elite group of medical providers and clinicians on a medical campus dedicated to serving our community is an honor, said Greg Florentin, CEO of Tri-City Cardiology. All of the space in Terrazza Medical Village will be occupied by specialty medical groups with providers and services to take care of Valley residents. The best part is, in a few years, patients will have an all-encompassing facility with specialists, a pharmacy, a surgical center, rehab partners, and so much more. TCC Real Estate Holding Company is the project developer. TriArc Design and Architectural Services designed the site and buildings, while Krauss Anderson serves as the general contractor. First Citizens Bank provided financing for Terrazza Medical Village. Project management will be shared between Krauss Anderson and TCCCREHC. Tri-City Cardiology can be reached at tricitycardiology.com and Terrazza MedicalVillage.com. End of story. Thanks for joining me for the East Valley News for Santan and Queen Creek. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next on Sun Sounds.